Alvin Lee, 10 years after kicking us off here for another two-hour session of the Radio Ranch, the RBN Sunday night edition. Glad you're out there following along. I get emails from you saying, I never miss one. Thank you very much. We appreciate your loyalty, and hopefully, I mean, I don't guess you'd be here every week if you weren't getting something out of it. So that's hopefully it's a two-way street, because I sure get something out of you being out there and touching base with you guys and knowing you're there and knowing that this... I guess it's like a female with a baby, because I've been growing the thing for so long and been with me for so many decades now. It's very personal to me, this whole project, and to get it going and see the response we're getting and see the information fall on people's ears and change their lives is very gratifying for me, and I'm certainly happy to do it, and you make me real proud and all that kind of stuff. So Roger Sales is my name. Freedom, your freedom's my game, and here we are at the old slot of the now deceased Ralph Winterout, another valiant fighter, and honored to be in front of the audience that Ralph built over, again, so many decades. I like to take this spot because it's one-on-one in the format we're on here and answer your questions or talk to you if you want to converse and anything on the Sunday night edition. So let me just go ahead and give out the call-in number now, and that's we'll exercise it. I may give it out another time or two here, but it's 512, area code 512, and the prefix is 248248, and the suffix 8252. So 512-248-8252, hike, and we'd like to yak with you if you got any questions on your mind, especially about this process. I mean, that's really the reason we're here. All these other things are certainly important. But my feeling is that when, you know, I was a teacher for 10 years professionally, actually, in Atlanta at the Art Institute of Atlanta. I taught music business courses mainly, which was my background. And I had professional experience in that. So, anyway, I learned a lot of things about teaching. One thing is how wonderful of a profession it is. I can see why people enjoy teaching, because you get so much great feedback. It just really makes you feel good. You know, you get that intangible benefit that you can't put a price tag on. I take these things very seriously. And the one thing that I remember from teaching all these little slogans, one of them was, the only dumb question is the one that isn't asked. And that's because what happens with people are scared to ask a question. They think they're going to look foolish for whatever reason. And there's a number of other people out there with the same question. They feel the same way. So therefore, nobody ever steps forward and the question never gets asked. And then there's a lot of people that could benefit from hearing the answer to it. So we try and short sheet that and just say, please don't be that way. And if you do have a question, no matter how trivial it may seem, we'd love to entertain it. And let's see, how else can we get started here? I wanted to, well, it's been on my mind, so I guess that means it's on your heart. I guess if it's on your heart, you ought to get it out there, and it's something I don't think we've covered here on this platform. But the deeper we get into this, hopefully, at least, the more you see and realize that this is a spiritual battle that we're in. And it manifests itself in a temporal plane, it's just against principalities and powers in high places. And the thing that, as I remember back over all the years I've been involved in this, what really grabbed me early on was biblical, actually. Now, I, like probably many of you, I was, you know, my parents were good about raising me around the church, and my parents, they both sang in the choir so they could look out and make sure I wasn't misbehaving. And believe me, they caught me a whole bunch of times. Oh, boy, they got thunder here. Listen, if we get knocked off the air or something, it may be because we got some kind of a thunderstorm brewing. I've been hearing thunder for a few minutes, and occasionally, not often, occasionally it gets knocked off. So if something happens here in our time together and you lose me, that's what it is, Sam. So you might have something ready to throw in there just in case, because it may happen. We got some big thunder in the behind over my back there. So anyway, as I was saying, my parents were in the choir. They kind of, you know, went to vacation Bible school when I was young. And I remember I was an Air Force brat, so we were moving hither and yon. Oh, there's somebody calling in already. And, yeah, Sam, go ahead and put them on here. And, who we got? Cindy in Missouri. Hey, Cindy, I was just telling the story. I was going to lead up to something. How are you this Sunday evening?
I'm good. Go ahead and tell your story.
Well, I think you may really enjoy it. Okay, I mean, and sure. Stand Pact is very impactful, and it's one of the things that, well, a lot of people don't see, okay? And it goes back to at the end of the presentation, they would have a weekend seminar. John and Glenn's traveling roadshow was they'd do a little brief presentation on Friday night showing you an overview. And then if you wanted to participate, you could pay $1,500, and they would give a total weekend seminar. Now, this is in the early 90s. $1,500 is a lot more money even back then, okay? And they would give this seminar. It would be all day and late into the night on Saturday night, and just about the same on Sunday, and it accumulated with all this high-end legal knowledge, which anybody that's new to it just leaves your head spinning, you know. And it's overwhelming, quite frankly. But at the end of it, before we filed the NR, the 1040 NRs and did the IRS stuff, the way John would close this generally was Revelation 18. Okay. Now, and that's why I was leading up to my spiritual background. I drifted away from all that good anchoring that my parents did for me as I got into my teens, like teens are prone to do, and you know, got off into the wild times of the 60s and you know, women, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was into all that stuff and got into the music business and did it professionally for a number of years. Yeah. So that's why I say I'm about the most unlikely candidate here, you know. And Revelation 18, but if you got those seeds planted, they can germinate later in life. That was one of the real points I wanted to make here. So Revelation 18, if you're not familiar with it, of course, I think everybody's familiar with Revelation. And it starts out, Babylon, O Babylon the Great, has fallen in an hour, and the merchants of the earth wail, for they can no longer sell their merchandise. Okay, so that tells you who we're dealing with, the merchants of the earth. And then underneath that, it's got a very interesting little verse, and it repeats something twice, Cindy, right? It repeats something twice, Cindy, and I don't remember. I've even asked my buddy Brent Winters, are there any other places in the Bible where they repeat something twice? I mean, do you think if that's the case, that it might they mean to put some importance on it, possibly? Mm-hmm. I'll leave that up to you. But right under that, it says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. It doesn't say fight her. It doesn't say try and take her back over. It says, come out of her. Separate yourself from her. And it says it twice, and I got to feel that's for emphasis, okay? And then underneath that, and there's five different ways you can come out of her, we've figured out. Spiritually, geographically, politically, financially, and health-wise. So there's five different areas of freedom. And they can switch in priority depending on the individual. Cause you can have all of them if you don't have your health, you don't have too much. You know, so it's not a one size fits all priority list, but they're all important, you know, and you can come out all of them. You could take it and apply that twice said, once repeated phrase. So anyway, underneath that now it does get interesting, Cindy, and it says, serve her cup double, or fill her cup double what she's served you. Fill her double or give her back double. It even says that twice. So whatever it is we're supposed to, or whoever this is talking to here, is supposed to do it double to what has been done to us. How do you double what these guys have done? I mean, I just don't know, you know. Pretty unfathomable, all right? And so then it goes down a little bit further. And there's, and I forget the exact verses, not too far down, couple down, and there's a list of 22 different items that the merchants of the earth can no longer sell, all right? It's got your gold and your silver and your frankincense and your ivory and your this and that and the other, you know. And it gets down to the bottom, and the last entry is, and bodies and souls of men. So you see John in the salt mines on the Isle of Patmos, the last surviving disciple that wrote this, saw the world was enslaved to this mystery Babylon, okay? And it goes further down a little bit, and it says, for you have fornicated with the kings of the earth and fooled them, something like that, fooled them with your sorcery. Now, John went back and looked in the dictionary under sorcery, and there's several definitions. One of them is chance. Which you can understand. That makes sense, okay?
Right.
And he would say, I wonder if their chant is UCC, 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 because it's the Babylonian merchant code that it allowed them to do this.
Wow.
So I just wanted to get that out. It was on my heart, and I think about that kind of stuff all the time. So how are you doing this evening, Cindy?
I'm great. I waited since last Sunday. I listened to your show, heard the three women that called in, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
okay.
That's right. It was woman's week last week.
Well, I tell you, I'm right with them, and I guarantee you, because I have fought with the whole Jitsi thing till.
Oh,
I'm,
have you?
Yeah. Well,
all right.
You know, I've heard some of your fits on the phone. I've done some of those myself, so you know. Like,
have you heard my fits?
I'm in good company here. I am in good company. So I just gave up, and I thought, okay, well, that's fine. I'll just wait till Sunday night, and I'll use the damn telephone. I know how.
Okay,
to use
well,
that.
There you go. Well, we know how that works, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, Cindy, I'm sorry, and we can go over that if you want. Maybe I can find it, because it should be pretty easy. But let's
well,
go ahead.
I sent you the email and said, would you have Paul or I think it's Daryl?
Daryl's
had the. The funny, the wreck, or no, he was driving.
Oh, that's
car
Daniel.
That's Daniel.
I was thinking
either one of them guys will help me if I can just get him to have him call me. They'll walk me through this, because I hadn't even heard of Jitsi until.
Yeah. Well, most people haven't. It's not a real popular platform yet. They've been around for a number of years, growing, and they've gotten to a place for the audience. That's the platform we do our radio show on, okay? And it allows us, got some real unique features to it, and it allows multiple people to be on the board. We can have group discussions, and we get into some of these topics, and it's extremely useful to have other people's opinions. You know, iron sharpens iron, I like to say about it. But it can be a little challenging, and it's not too terribly bad. How are you? It's, you can either do it on your cell phone or your computer, especially if you got a microphone tied to your computer.
Oh,
anyway,
I got it on my cell phone.
Okay.
I can tell you, I've went back. Oh, I think I've listened to 4 months of your archives on.
Oh, aren't you the sweetest?
Yeah. Well, it was. It's just a funny situation, and. I mean, I'm no stranger to any of this, because I've been following a lot of this. And then I had gotten into a group, and there was a chat, and I still have my CDL, and it's coming up. And I was like, oh, I want to give that thing up. But I still use it occasionally.
It's okay. And it's okay. It's okay. You can contract with them and go do that. Commerce, it doesn't apply to you blanket when you're not doing it. It's the way I've come to understand it, at least.
I was just going to tell you how I found you. So in this other group, that's where they were kind of talking about that. Some girl had dropped two of your, I think it was Tom D.
Right.
And so I just went over there, and then I ran over to the computer and made me a copy of the travel.com. That says the U.S.
Right.
citizen is a U.S. national. And so
right.
I ran and grabbed that. And then so I couldn't figure out how to do that stuff.
So,
and I was like, okay, I'm just follow him. I've already sent in my papers. And so I just can't, you know, I mean, it's just not. And I knew last Sunday night when I listened to them women, I thought, you know what? They're in the same boat I am. I know they are. And then I've heard two or three women, and I'm thinking, yeah, I know they're struggling with this too. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just listen, and then each week I'll just call Roger and ask him my questions.
I'm so proud of you gals stepping forward, and unfortunately it is it's an indication of the neutering of the males in the culture and the society, I'm sorry to say. Because normally it would be the men stepping forward and grabbing this to protect you ladies. And it's like, I heard some of these European women about 10 years ago that are getting raped by all these migrants. They're going, where are the men? Okay, it's kind of the same thing here.
Right.
It's happening on my radio show. Cindy, it's happening on my radio show, too. I mean, a lot.
I know. I know. I listen to you when I run out of your new ones, then I just go back and keep going backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards. And that's all I listen to. And so there's a few times that I'm like, oh, I wish he'd say a little more, you know, or I wish I could just call and say, would you expound on that? And then I'm sitting there thinking, oh, well, maybe he'll say it another time. So it's okay. You know, where
you
there's a will, there's a way, you know. And I tell you, when I did that, and then I had heard you say, I'm going to do this on Sarah Westall. And I've listened to Sarah several times, and I thought, I like her because she has some really good guests on sometimes, but she interrupts all the time, and I don't like that. And so I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to jump over there and find him on there. So I did, and then you dropped the little hint of the Matrix docs. So I just keep that up on my computer.
Yes.
And I heard a girl trying to get in to the archives the other night, and I was
Georgia. Yeah. Judy.
Yeah, and I just want, if I could have picked it up, I'd have said, well, Judy, do it like I'm doing it. Just go into the Matrix docs. I mean, because I felt so bad for her, because I know she was struggling like me.
Well,
and so I wish
Cindy,
I could have told her. I tell you what I do, Roger. I just go over, find your Spingoli, which I've already heard that one, and I go in there, and then that jumps me over, and then I just keep going down the archives, and I just keep going backwards and backwards. So it's fine. Where there's a will, there's a way, you know.
I'm so flattered. I mean, really, thank you, and I appreciate it. And what I know is I can remember back when this information first touched me, that little thing I just went over there. I went through that whole weekend seminar, you know, several times before it was all over, but certainly that first time was just like, you're going, holy smoke, what just hit me? You know, but you don't understand really any of it for the most part, but you know that it's something of great substance, see, and it really resonates with you, even the little that you were able to grasp and internalize and grab, get your arms around. And now you've got the vacuum, so you're like, more, where can I go? Who's got my answer? You know, and now you're being pulled along. This is the old saying, I like to use it, it's easier to pull a rope than it is to push a rope. Well, here, you got a rope that's being pulled, see? And it's because you're a truth seeker, and the truth finally crossed your path in a format you can understand. It may not be something you're totally familiar with, but you know that it's not too difficult for you to understand, and that you've got answers and concrete things that'll make positive things from your life as you get and go chase it. Now, we got a little break coming up here, Cindy, because Sam needs to have a paycheck. So we're going to let him get partial paycheck and pay a bill or two, and then we're going to come back on the other side. So we'll see you in just a minute.
Okay.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And here we go back at the Radio Ranch RBN Sunday afternoon, evening edition, wherever you are. Got Cindy from Missouri on. We're just having a nice little session here. And Cindy's one of those folks that is really touched by this information. Did it happen first time you heard it, Cindy, that it resonated with you? Or did you have to go, man, I got to listen to that again? But did it grab you right off?
Well, I knew a whole lot because now, I'd listened to some of the same ones that you all discuss and talk about, but then there was this other group that I'd gotten into. Now, they do a whole lot, and I had my paperwork and everything ready. I did hear you say that when you guys first started, you were filing in, you know, your county office, and I have all of my paperwork. I mean, I've got it in a folder, and then I ran onto this, and I'm like, well, shit. I'll just do this. Now,
I mean, yeah, okay, 32 pages versus one sentence and one page. Which would you prefer?
It's not that bad, but yours is so much easier, and then I can explain it, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the key, because we got to have numbers. Okay, it's all right, a few of us get out, and it's going to be a small percentage. I can accept that. But there's a lot of people that can add to what's a small percentage. You know, I mean, remember, it's only 3% of the population wanted to fight King George. Everybody else wanted to stay with the king. We've got, you know, we're approaching at least 1% now, maybe more, okay? Maybe 2%. And you got a lot of people that the worse it gets, the more they're starting to wake up, more people are getting off the fence, more people are looking for answers. And here we are. You know, there's one thing that I don't think I've talked about on here or very much on my show either, is this thing about the RMNA shot changing your DNA and literally changing your legal classification. You know, they're starting to pass laws for transhumans around the world in different countries, I've heard. Okay, so they consider you, if your DNA has been changed, just like the GMO crops that Monsanto, and this is already proven in court, you know, quite a few years ago, more than once. And if they're the farmer in Canada and the adjacent farmer is a Monsanto farmer, and they come over and fertilize and propagate his crops, they come over and claim it's GMO crops because it was the GMO seed that propagated them. Okay, right. So in other words, you're their property. I've heard that they can take CRISPR, this program, to gene edit and splice, and go in literally and write Rothschild on your DNA, or whoever the owner is. Okay,
yeah.
So it's something that may be tested down the line. Well, was it fraud? Yes, it was fraud. Did you do it voluntarily? Well, some of you might not that had to go through that, but most people did do it voluntarily, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting deal. It's called, legally, what they've done with that jab to their property was perfect the collateral.
I heard you say that. And I mean, all of the stuff that you talk about and everybody talking now, not all of it, but I'm an RN, have been since 18, 17 years. So when COVID came out, it took me about 2 weeks, and I called bullshit, and I went to digging. And so wasn't working in the hospital at the time. That's probably been a real blessing.
Oh,
because
yes,
I'm
man.
Not, I don't keep my mouth shut. So it was probably, I'd have probably got fired anyway. And
right.
So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of the whole medical part of it. You know, I dug into that, and then I got deep into, you know, the child trafficking and the adrenochrome and I mean, I went to digging hard and wanted to, I feel like I've gotten a whole new education at 60 years old. I do.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, I know. It's a whole new life because we had no ideas we were growing up. You know, I don't know if you're like me. I sensed something was wrong. You know,
yeah.
I had a sixth sense even when I was in my late teens that something in the 60s just wasn't right, you know. But I couldn't find that path for many years, almost 20 years, you know. And then I finally stumbled into the tax movement, and here we are.
Yeah.
So,
and
do you have a question I can answer for? Did you have a question
I do.
Okay. Well,
all
right. Hold on, because we got another break coming up. Is what I'm saying. I'm trying to anticipate Sam's trigger finger here, and
I don't want to take
about
up all
60
your
seconds. No, I don't think we got anybody else waiting. So you know, if nobody else wants to react.
Okay.
Okay, we got one caller waiting, about 60 seconds for the break. So rather than, can you get your question out in about 30 seconds?
Well, one of them that I want to hear you say is just go further with when you say, if you do this and they get you called into court and you always say it bypasses the rules of evidence. What?
Right. Which when
their
your paperwork is in their it's when your paperwork is already in their court system. Their court system, there's two parallel ones. The first one is the administrative state, and the fact that your administrative file with these agencies is a court of record because all correspondence has to be put in there. Once it's anything sent from them or from you to them, and it's got to be put in there, and because it's on their court of record already, it can be brought into any other court, and it bypasses the rules of evidence.
So what?
She's already you're if you sent them your affidavit and it's in the Secretary of State's folder, it's already in their court system. That's what you're trying to do, is get it in that folder. All right, we'll get noodle on that. We'll catch it on the other side if it's not clear.
The truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All righty, Mr. Sam gets us back on the road here, and we got Cindy from Missouri, and you were asking about the court of record, and a statement I make is that you can use, should they ever bring you to court, which they'll never do. There's a number of reasons for that. There's somebody else waiting to get in line, Cindy, is because this is so damning to them that they do not want, I don't believe, and other people agree with me, if you know the feds and how they operate and who these people are, is they don't want to come at this because then they'd have to get it into a potential public forum, because they're coming after you and you've got the ability to answer back and bring some of these things out in the open, and they don't want them in the open. Okay. They're freaked out about this as it is, and I know that because from the time I started on this very network 11 years ago, the Southern Poverty Law Center's little mole that listened to RBN exclusively, a little creep named Russ from Minnesota. His real name is Russ the Revelation 2 and 39 Zionist piece of crap Estes, okay? And he used to snitch around the station. He tried to shut this message down from the very start, back when I was only teaching law. Okay, I didn't know the stuff I know now, all right? So they've been aware of it, and they've been freaked out about it since it came out. And this is why they sent John and Glenn to prison for 15 and a half years, was to get them off the street, because they were onto this. And what they didn't count on was somebody, me, being one out of 1,200 students that continued to carry the message forward, and now we know why they were justifiably freaked out about it, because it slits their throat figuratively and maybe literally one of these days. Let's hope. Okay, so the reason that you're asking about the submission of stuff is because we got two court systems in the federal jurisdiction. One is you don't recognize the first one as a court because it's not traditional with black robe bandits. It can get that way, but it's the administrative state. See, the administrative state, all these agencies, that's the swamp. That's where the unelected bureaucrats sit that are taking the legislation that if you participate in that political theater, that your elected representative passes a law, but then it gets turned over to the appropriate administrative agency that deals with that subject matter, and now some bureaucrat who wasn't elected rewrites it as a little law, they call them, and they can literally be 180 degrees away from the original intent of the original legislation. Now, that's not representative government. That's the administrative state and these agencies. That's where the power is, okay? And so that is a court inside that system, and that is a file that they have to keep on everything that's sent out to somebody, one of the serfs, and any responses that the serfs send back. There has to be a record of it, and that's your administrative file, and every agency has one. Okay, on the people that they're dealing with. And when you get something in there because it's considered their possession and an administrative court type system and process, now should you get into a district court, for example, you can go, well, look, I already did this in the administrative state, when we were trading letters. Boom, we'll give you a perfect example. Al Addis, you've probably heard me mention this. I used to do shows for about a year and a half with Texas's Al Addis. Many of you will remember Al. And Al, when IRS came up one time, and he said, I got a letter from him, and I wrote him back a list of 66 questions, and I sent it to him, and I never heard from him again. And boy, it's a humdinger. It's a humdinger of a list, okay? Al was a great legal guy, and he did a great job, okay? And the reason for that is because they couldn't come after him without that potential. If they were going to come after him for failure to file, for example, he can bring that out into the trial, and it bypasses the laws of evidence, and you ask whoever's on the stand, well, why didn't you answer these questions? Jury, I ask them. They never answered them. That's why they won't do it, okay?
Right.
All right. So that is the court of record of the administrative state. Sometimes our Patriot guys will try and take a grievance and go to district court and file a case, a suit, and you go to the clerk and she goes, well, I'm sorry, I can't file this for you because you haven't exhausted your administrative remedies. Your administrative remedies are the steps you go through over here on this other administrative court process to make sure that, because that problem can get adjudicated at a lower level. There's no sense sticking it on a docket and clogging up an already clogged up district court docket. So it makes total sense. And if you have problems, people, if any of your friends or whatever are having problems seeing this, direct them to the administrative state, because that's the elephant on the couch. See, people don't recognize it, see? They don't recognize it because they've grown up with it like it's always been there. It was never there before March the 9th of 1933.
I know. I just love it, and I'm glad I'm getting it because it took me a little while, but I went through it. I've got, almost a full notebook, and I've wrote that over and over and over, and I go back and I listen again and again and again and again because I do better with the listen.
I get it. I get a lot of people that say that. I back the tape up and all that. I got a notebook and this book and all of those stuff.
I do.
Look, I can appreciate it. No, I went through it. See, I went through it. Maybe not that extent. I didn't have all those gadgets back then, but I went through it.
Well, not only do I want to know it, but I've got two kids that are fantastic, and they're in their 30s, and I just, they're great kids, but, I'm watching them just struggle, and, God, Mom, and I'm like, now, my son, I'll have him on board. My daughter, she's a different deal, but she'll pay attention. And I've got another question for you. You keep saying, and the reason why I'm doing this is it's a personal thing, is Union Pacific was given its life by the U.S. government.
Well, corporations have to be incorporated. Okay, all corporations, they just don't pop up like mushrooms in the cow pasture after the rain. They have to go to some authority with a, this is, we'd like to do this. Here's a proposed corporate bylaws and stuff. Give us life. Now, because it's just like you with civil rights, because you got given rights at birth under this fraudulent system by the government, then you owe them and there is no God involved. That's what's going on here. But anyway, to corporations, whoever incorporates you is the God. But go ahead, what you're going forward with.
Well, it's my son-in-law. He is security for Union Pacific.
And oh, is he? Okay.
He's right now out in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, you can see they've had a halt of them for a long time because all the way back, you know, and now they're the ones that they're pulling the string on fertilizer and feed the horse lots or the cow lots and all that stuff. They're the one they're using to cut a lot of these foodstuffs out of the food chain. Union Pacific Railroad. Every time they're going to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but I wonder why nobody ever mentions another railroad, because there's more than Union Pacific.
BNSF here.
I mean, he's up in the northern part, and of course they're dealing with the homeless on the track, and it's a joke, and it's stupid, and it's money wasted, and I mean it's
whole thing's ridiculous. Yes,
it is.
I don't know. I can't answer your question. I just know that's the one that gets quoted. It's been around a long time, even all the way back to the Bush Haber case. But I got a couple of people here behind you, Cindy, and I don't want to have them holding and not get to them or, you know, feel slighted and stuff. So if you don't have anything else, I'm going to say how much I enjoyed the conversation, how glad I am you and others like you are out there, and I appreciate you a lot, okay?
I want to ask you one fast question.
All right, dear.
Can a sheriff of a county, can he be a national?
Yes.
Okay.
Best thing you could do is either find one that would want to be, or at least find one that's open to the message. I had an email from a fellow named Pierre out of Texas, sir. I don't remember the county, but he's got connections in his county, and he helped get the sheriff elected. And he said, I'm putting this in front of him, and he's talking to his attorney and their legal assistant, showing it to him, and they go, the question he got, why doesn't everybody know about this?
Yeah.
Good question.
Well, I've got the ear of our sheriff here, and we're just a little county down on the very border, middle of the state, right on top of Arkansas. I think our county was the second in the whole United States of the least vaccinated.
You're in a good part of the country right there. That's a good, solid place to be. You're very fortunate. So thank you, Cindy. Let me get to these other folks. I enjoyed talking with you. I appreciate your questions, and keep listening. Try and figure out the Jitsi thing. Write me an email. I'll send you some more specific instructions, okay? Is that okay? Cindy gone? Sam? Okay, who's next, Sam? Cindy, just send me an email. I'll give you some Jitsi instructions. Yes, who's next? All right, Mike in Pennsylvania is up. Next victim. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you, all in all. I just love being with you guys on this platform here.
Oh, we love having you. I have a question. A couple weeks ago, you had a caller, and you seemed to know him pretty well, and he was saying about the every now and then he gets correspondence from the IRS, and he just takes them and puts them in a folder and doesn't bother with it. How do you know that if it isn't a for real thing?
Well, I don't know that you do know with these snakes. You know, the one thing that you got to be cautious of, and you should always address whatever they send you. That's why the best thing and the ideal, you remember when you go look at job descriptions and stuff, and they say the ideal candidate must have quotation marks. Well, the ideal candidate here comes with somebody that's got a clean slate and you're not already involved with them. And when you've got someone like that, we can do what's called a preemptive strike, that's what I call it anyway, because you're going in and changing your status and yanking away their jurisdiction before they can ever get wound up to start sending you that kind of stuff. Okay. And that is the ideal place to be. You should I don't think you should ever just throw stuff in the can and not address it. And if for no other reason, Mike, than this administrative file we were just talking about with Cindy, because any answers you give, they've got to put that in your administrative file. Anything that goes in there, you can refer to, drag out, and use later. Okay, so that's one of the things you do, is try and get stuff in your administrative file that will be so detrimental to them potentially that they'll never open up the file and bring it out. See, there's several ways of approaching beating these guys, all right? But the ideal candidate comes with a clean slate. If you're not already involved in a dance with them, you're far ahead of the game. If you already are getting those things, you're subject to, something from them down the line. In other words, John's thoughts, my law teacher, John Benson's thoughts, were that they are using that letter, those correspondence, especially the ones for failure to file, Mike. Have you ever gotten any of those?
No, I'm just working on it.
Okay,
I'm
well, let me explain
right
it.
Now.
Okay, good. Well, let me explain this for you in the audience, and this is important. It may give you some motivation, okay? The system, the IRS system, is a voluntary system. You've had them get up in front of Congress and say, BATF is a mandatory tax, income tax is a voluntary tax in front of Congress. It is. So how do they do it? They put the teeth in the back end, and the way they're doing it is getting you in a contract on the front end. And this was John's theory. I had somebody contest it with me in an email recently, okay? And I just said, look, this is what I was taught by John, you know? I don't know. UCC is very hard to understand. But I do know this. If John has always been right, I can't think of a single instance when I've found all these years he was ever wrong about things he speculated on, okay? And so it's a voluntary system. How else are you proposing that they're getting you into a contract at the front end of a voluntary system? Please, I'd like to hear your theory. Okay? Well, John's was this, that there's a series of four letters, Mike, if you don't file, that they'll send you. And it says, oh, hey, Mike, hey, you know, we haven't received your tax return for the year 2018 and 2019, and if you've already sent these in, please disregard this notice. And if you haven't, we might ask you to come in and bring in some of your books and records. See you later. Your loving friends at the IRS, right? Have you ever seen one of those? You haven't?
No.
Okay, have any of your friends that you know of ever? Have you ever heard of that,
no.
One of those? Okay, well, that is what John thought, is that's a specialty contract over in the area of the Uniform Commercial Code, the Babylonian Merchant Code, called a confirmatory writing, okay? And it's a specialty contract that is, according to the definition, I remember him giving us the definition, it's a writing between merchants where the merchants are apprised to know the contents of the writing, and it's this special contract that if you don't expressly deny it after 10 days, then you've deemed to accept it. Now, what do most of our people do when they get one of those?
Probably throw it in the trash.
Bam. Now they've got you in a contract on the front end, and when it gets to the point in the process where they don't have a return filed, because you didn't file one, don't forget. So now they've got to come in and use this push code 09. And that's where they stop the process of the computer in Martinsburg, and somebody inserts what's called a substitute for return, or it's referred to as an SFR, or a dummy return, okay? And that's where they write down, say, oh, Mike owes us, let's see, I got a little penalty and interest here. I think that's about $400,000. And now they stop the computer, they stick in a form that you didn't sign, and it's got that amount on it, and you restart the computer. The computer will restart because now there's a statute staple, a 1040 form in it, and now it goes on to assessment, and they put it on the assessment rolls that you owe them $400,000, and they go to collection. That's how it works. But they got to get you in a contract at the front end because it's a voluntary system.
Okay. The next question is on a car. If you are a national and you get stopped and you say that all you have to do is show proof of purchase Are you talking about showing them the title of the vehicle?
I'm telling you what some of my students are doing with success, okay? And so once you do that, they only travel, first of all. They're not driving. They're traveling. Remember this, like Rush Limbaugh used to say, words mean things? They're not driving because that's a commercial activity. They're traveling in a private capacity. And what so they own their own car, and they paid for it and have a bill of sale for it. And they have private tags on them, okay? It says private and stuff on them. Different people have different tags. And they get stopped, and the cop goes, well, you got your insurance and registration? And go, well, this is my private conveyance. I don't need all that. You give them the passport card for your ID. And the guy in Birmingham gives him a bill of sale. He carries a bill of sale for his vehicle. And so the cop looks at it, hands it back to him, runs back, runs the passport card, and comes back and says, you ought to get some insurance on that thing. Have a nice day. Okay? So you're not driving, you're traveling in your private conveyance that you own, and you're national, and none of those driver's laws, which are all written for residents, apply to you. That's what's going on, okay? Now, the question is, do you have the balls or the breasticles to do that? And I don't know, and I can't answer that question, only you can. But you got the power now, and this is why I really urge people to learn as much of this as you can, because your confidence is going to come on your ability to defend yourself in those types of situations, should you either get in one by accident or should you press the envelope intentionally.
Okay, what happens if me and my wife both own the vehicle, or our names are both on a title, and let's just say I'm a national and she is not?
Man,
what would happen then?
She better have a license, and you better be paying insurance and all that stuff, or she's probably going to get a ticket, and she'll deserve it.
Okay. That's what I
tell your wife. Tell your wife to drive more carefully.
Yeah. Okay, and then when you do let me say this,
okay? Maybe this will give all of y'all some pause here. I've been doing this over 11 years, personally, and helping other people do it, okay? I've never had a report of one single negative thing happening to anybody because they did this that got back to me. And I got to believe if something negative happened to somebody because they did this, they'd find a way to get a hold of me. I'm pretty accessible.
Yeah.
Never one time, Mike, in 11 years.
All right. When you become a national, do you have access to the police force? Like, say,
of course,
if you have to call them and you're in your home for some reason,
They're not there to protect and serve anymore, but they would be. I'd probably call the sheriff. I think that might be more appropriate. But, you know, here, let me give you another example of somebody with a loyal title on their property, because we got people that have done that, okay? Well, what happens when you do that? You pull your property off the property rolls, so you're not paying property tax anymore. So now you don't have you're not incorporated with the fire department and all that stuff. So what do? You write a letter to the fire department, say, look, my property's not on the property rolls, but I support what you guys are doing for me, potentially, and for the community, and you throw them a certain amount of money a year. You do that, okay? Because otherwise, we had an instance, Al Addisk, I mentioned Al earlier, he moved out to Oregon at one spell. One of his listeners had a loyal title on his property out there, and he was building a cabin, and he was going to let Al live out there. And the night, right before it was finished, they hooked up the water heater. It was a gas water heater. They screwed up on one of the connections, and the cabin caught fire. It was right next to the road on the side of the property. The fire department comes out there, and they're parked on the road. They say, we can't come, you're not on the property rolls, and the damn cabin burned down.
All right. My last question is, does being a national affect your last will and testament?
Shouldn't. Get you out of inheritance tax, but if you're smart, you can. There's a lot of other ways you could structure it, trusts and this, that, and the other. There's other ways to approach that subject too, but no, it shouldn't. It should keep anybody, if your children are nationals, it should keep them from getting charged with any inheritance tax.
All Okay. And early on
anything,
in your book,
Mike, hold, any I'm going to try to any laws that apply generally the big wide umbrella is residence, okay? But they can use both, okay? Any laws that apply or written are always written for residents or citizens of the United States, and if you're not one, they don't apply to you.
Okay.
That's hard for people to understand, and I understand that. I mean, it's hard for them to get it through their head that these people don't have any authority that you haven't been tricked here into giving them. And you're just taking it away.
Okay, well, my plans for this summer is I joined a pool because I'm retired, and I'm going to take your book every day to the pool, and I'm going to read a chapter every day. And so by the end of summer, I think I'm be ready to pull the plug on this.
Okay, well, I don't think it's chapter necessarily, and realize we know a lot more than when the book was written. That was 11 years ago, and I don't want to update the book because it's so powerful the way it is. And you can't not benefit from being exposed to the information that's in there. And it's a life-changing book. It changes people's lives, period. Okay, so it's not necessarily in chapters, but I think you'll get, you may not be able to last all summer because people say it's such a page turner, Mike, and you don't want to put it down. It's one of those books. And the first half is my story for the audience. The first half is my story. And the reason I structured it and formatted it like that is because you just can't take that information, this type of heavy information that people don't have any familiarity with, and start a whole book plopping it in on the legal argument here. So the first part is my story and what happened to me along the line, like an AA talk. And then the second half is the legal argument. And both of them are very good. I got to admit, I'm very proud to have my name on it. Glenn edited it into what it is. He used an 80-page manuscript I wrote, and it really turned out to be something I'm extremely proud of, and I know it's touched a lot of people, Mike. And so you call back in as you got questions or anything, and I'm on the air every weekday over there on Eurofolk Radio, and you can participate with us there too. So we're available as you go forward, and let us know what you need in the way of questions or anything, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Who's next, Sam? Fred in Iowa. Hey, Fred.
Yeah, can you hear me, Roger?
Loud and clear, my friend.
Okay, maybe you recall from 2 or 3 weeks ago that I'm the guy that got a passport in 82, but I want to talk about that later on. I want to ask three questions. Roger, could you come back to the United States now if you wanted to?
If I wanted to. I was back a couple of years ago. I came back for my mother's 90th birthday. Spent 2 weeks. Nobody even blinked an eye at me.
Okay, now this may sound crazy, but I'm paranoid. I use Starbase.
Wait, hold on. Not only that, you're going to get chopped off because Sam's got some music there. So hold on a minute. It's Jerry, right? Jerry in Iowa. And we'll answer your questions on the other side. See you in a minute.
Iowa.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, Our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.